Can't Even, How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation by Anne Helen Peterson. Millennials don't stand a chance. That's how Annie Lowry titled her piece, several weeks into widespread quarantine amidst the spread of COVID-19, detailing the myriad ways the millennials generation is indeed screwed. Quote, the millennials entered the workforce during the worst downturn since the Great Depression, she writes, saddled with debt, unable to accumulate wealth, and stuck in low benefit, dead-end jobs. They never gained the financial security that their parents, grandparents, or even older siblings enjoyed. End quote. And right now, when we should be reaching our peak earning years, our author writes, we're faced with an economic cataclysm more severe than the Great Recession, near guaranteeing that they will be the first generation in modern American history to end up poorer than their parents. End quote. That last part again, Annie Lowry. Our author continues, for many millennials, articles like Lowry's feel less like a revelation than a confirmation. Yes, we're screwed, and we've known we're screwed for years. Even as the stock market rose and official unemployment numbers fell in the supposedly halcyon economy of the late 2010s, very few of us felt anything too secure. In truth, we were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's the refrain of this book. And that too remains true. Maybe we all need to act on that feeling in an irrefutable pivot point. An opportunity, not just for reflection, but to build a different design, a different way of life from the rubble and clarity brought forth by this pandemic. I'm not talking about utopia, per se, our author continues. I'm talking about a different way of thinking about work and personal value and profit incentives and the radical idea that each of us matter and are actually essential and worthy of care and protection. Not because of our capacity to work, but simply because we are. If you think that's too radical of an idea, I don't know how to make you care about other people. It's true, as Lowry puts it, that millennials don't stand a chance, at least not in this current system. But the same dire predictions holds true for huge swaths of Gen X and boomers, and will get only worse for Gen Z. The overarching clarity offered by this pandemic is that it's not any single generation that's broken, or effed, or failed, it's the system itself. Quite an opening from our author, Anne Helen Peterson, and quite a book as well. After hearing that, I know what you're probably thinking. I know what I'm probably thinking. If you're a baby boomer like me, oh great, another whiny book from overprivileged kids. If you're a millennial, perhaps you're excited that someone is seriously taking your life and your experiences seriously and skewers the pop culture that has grown up around it. And indeed, Can't Even offers elements of both of those points of view. But it's truly much more. It is, as I noted in that reading, a call to action. So much more that I hope you'll give this review a listen. And then read the book, because I think you, like me, will come to appreciate the experiences shared and the arguments set forth in these pages. The book starts, as we heard, with a review of the contemporary state of millennial life in America. Very contemporary. After all, COVID-19 was running through the nation as this book was put to press. With all the complex socioeconomic, racial, sexual identity aspects duly noted and ticked off. But then it goes off on a rather odd tangent from what we probably expected to do. It starts to talk about the millennials' parents' generation, the oh-so-cosseted baby boomer folks, and how they too have burned out in the past decade or so, and why that burnout likely came about. In other words, from the author, our get-go offers to bridge the gap between parent and child, old and young, suggesting that many generations, all the generations alive today, can indeed learn something about, and more importantly, why, each generation sees the way the other does. Indeed, she follows through on her promise at the beginning to be intergenerational in her approach, to say that we're all in this together, we're all effed if we don't change what's going on. And her approach set me off on a different path as I read the book, feeling immensely included instead of excluded, and more willing to consider the pitfalls the up-and-coming generation faces as it tries to make its way and its mark on the America of the future. And yes, I realize she's talking about my generation too. Now, about the ideas, the experiences, the recommendations. Well, Peterson offers us a quick overview of economic life and society since the Great Depression back in the 1920s, the rise of an activist government that offered national programs which helped with health care, equal application of rights, economic security for older adults and the poor in general, and how the sense of national comfort giving ran into the economic headwinds of the 1970s and the 1980s, giving way to the me generation, a focus that, oddly enough, she writes, resulted in the political turn to the right with Ronald Reagan and all. For as the baby boomers found life slowing and becoming economically tenuous, the familiar story of the stock market booming, but most folks' salaries static or worse, baby boomers and their parents focused on how they could prepare their most precious part of life, their children, embracing a retro belief that pulling oneself up by one's own bootstraps was the best response to a worsening overall economic environment, and so focused on better equipping their kids, not society's kids, their kids, for the world which boomers saw the world becoming. And so the emphasis on doing, taking piano lessons, taking part in organized learning activities of all sundry, taking part in organized sports, scheduling their kids and themselves into a flurry of activity that was meant to prepare kids for an increasingly post-capitalist life of dog-eat-dog. A well-meaning effort, for sure, on the part of the parents. But the results? And when you think about it, what's so surprising about these actions? Don't parents want their kids to do at least as well, if not better, than themselves? Well, sure. But it fascinates me that the focus of baby boomer parents and their kids, the millennials, is on maintaining the post-depression concept of the middle class. Everyone has bought into this post-economic depression idea that the goal of life is not to make it through and make something of yourself and maybe make the next person's life and your life a little bit better. Nope, it's to join that great middle class that developed so successfully in America and in much of the world after the war. That was the desire of the baby boomers, and that was the desire they have put into their children, the millennials, and indeed the Gen Zs. Resulting, as our author tells us, in the current dog-eat-dog, how-am-I-going-to-make-it-ahead kind of world where, more or less, everybody suffers because everybody's after everybody else. Yes, there is a lot of generalizing here about generations and about people in general. And yes, this is basically written by folks in or aspiring to that great American middle class, the presumed audience for this book. Did I buy all the arguments our author presents on behalf of the trials and tribulations of millennials as promised by the title of this book? And it is a fantastic cover, by the way. It's hard to not pick up this book after you see that cover with the words literally falling off the page. Did I believe all of it? Nope. But that's not the point, is it? This is not an encyclopedic presentation of life for those who are millennials, Gen Zs, and even younger, but rather one author's well-researched and thought-out examination of life for millennials today. But for all of that, Can't Even is a book I can say I'm glad I read. I think you will be too. If you delve into this, Peterson has quite a few ideas to share, quite a few action steps we might consider taking, and she wraps it all up with a couple of impactful chapters. She wraps those chapters up with these words. So here's what we can do. We can unite in our resistance to the way things are. We can refuse to blame ourselves for wide-scale society failures, but also understand how fear is losing one's already tenuous standing makes us overly protective of the privileges we do have. We can recognize that it's not enough to try to make things better for ourselves. We have to make things better for everyone. Which is why actual substantive change has to come from the public sector, and why we must vote en masse to elect politicians who will agitate for it tirelessly. We don't have to value ourselves and others by the amount of work that we do. We don't have to resent our parents or grandparents for having it easier than us. We don't have to submit to the idea that racism or sexism will be with us forever. We can come to the spectacular and radical understanding that we are each valuable simply because we are. We can feel so much less alone, so much less exhausted, so much more alive. But there's a lot of work involved in realizing that the way to get there isn't, in fact, working more. Millennials, she writes, have been denigrated and mischaracterized, blamed for struggling in situations that set us up to fail. But if we have the endurance and aptitude and wherewithal to work ourselves this deeply into the ground, we also have the strength to fight. We have little savings and less stability. Our anger is barely contained. We're a pile of ashes smoldering, a bad memory of our best selves. Underestimate us at your peril. We have so little left to lose. Can't even. How millennials became the burnout generation, falling off the cover of their own book, by Anne Helen Peterson. Recommend you give it a try. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.